Loud Nation.
You're invited to take your seat.
Take a seat.
At the Warriors Roundtable.
It's a three. In and out. Rebound. Peyton. Out to Curry. Let's it fly. Three ball. Left corner pocket.
Welcome to the table. On the exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors. 95-7 the game.
Curry fires away. Three ball. Above the break.
Here's Kevin Danner. Gary St. Jean.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and we welcome you to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Taking your calls all hour long, 888-957-9570, the number if you want to hit us up. Again, that number, 888-957-9570. We're reminding you that the Warriors 2023-24 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. Well, I guess you could say a pretty interesting game in Orlando last night. There's a lot to get to. Want to talk about the back-to-back sweep of the Florida teams for the first time in 8 years for Golden State. A look at the Western Conference race. A look at the rest of the road trip against Charlotte and San Antonio. But, of course, we have to start with last night's 101-93 win against Orlando, which is almost a side story with Draymond Green getting ejected within the first 3.5 minutes of the game. Before we get into it, let's hear Draymond Green's on if he deserved to be ejected. This was on his podcast after the game. So this is what Draymond had to say, and then we will react to it, Gary and myself.
Just can't happen. I said what I said. I deserve to get kicked out at that point. And what I said, if I'm all the way honest with y'all, I kind of was trying to turn my body and angle and go to the bench. And I said what I said, like a little too soon before angling my body to the bench. But yeah, it just can't happen. And like we need to win games. So not going to overreact like, oh, man, like stuff is never as good as it seems. It's never as bad as it seems. Like, I know where I am. I understand what I'm doing moving forward. And in my position, just make sure that that's the exception and not the rule. And so moving on, like I said, shout out to my brothers for holding me down and getting that win. Need to go get a couple more wins.
Thoughts, Saint?
Well, Kev, he deserves a very loud shout out to his teammates. It's unexcusable. It just, you can't do that. I don't care what excuse you have. You're jeopardizing the whole season for the team. And I thought it was a major, major mistake. And with that said, you know, he admitted it after being so upset emotionally. And I just give credit to the rest of the guys who played the game, because you didn't have Kuminga. And, you know, the highlight for me of the whole night was watching Steph Curry and Wiggins embrace after the game. And then Steve Kerr embraced both of them. That game meant a lot. And I think you and I tend to be a little bit optimistic. I didn't see this. Orlando is a very, very good young team. And they were running in cement, and they had like 3 or 4 days off. I was shocked with that. You caught Miami with 3 or 4 rotation players out. But with that said, you got to take care of business, and they did it on the road. And you know, you're keeping yourself in this crazy race. We're gonna get into that, but I'm looking last night, and I'm saying, well, everybody won, everybody held serve, and so we go on to the next night. And now you've gone through the toughest part of the road trip to me. Yeah. And now you're going to go to Charlotte and to Memphis, and those are very winnable games.
Look, you should finish this road trip 4-1, though we know that the Warriors have lost to the San Antonio Spurs already this year without two of the best players in Victor Wembanyama and Devin Vassell. We're going to get into it, and they've had a lot of struggles as of late in Charlotte, like they have had in Orlando, and you mentioned it, Saint. Orlando hadn't played since a Saturday loss to the Sacramento Kings at home, so no travel, and Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday completely off. I imagine they practice two of those 3 days, but a lot of time to just kind of chill at home, and the Warriors found a way to win. Now, I do want to talk a little more about the Draymond Green ejection, because, look, obviously it's inexcusable. Draymond knows it. His teammates know it. His coach, Steve Kerr, knows it. Dub Nation, every fan knows it. But Steve Kerr himself has said they don't want him to be a choir boy. Now, doesn't want him picking up two technicals 4 minutes into a game against for arguing and swearing at Ray Acosta. But still, if you want a guy who's going to toe the line, occasionally he's going to cross it. And I found this interesting from Slater's article after the game. He wrote the following on The Athletic. Another influential member of the organization struck a sensible tone in the tunnel postgame when discussing the reality of the situation. What? Did we really just expect he was never going to get ejected again? And that's kind of where I fall on this. Like, I mean, obviously you don't want it to happen. Obviously it's inexcusable, but he's a fiery guy. And as long as he's not, you know, chokeholding Rudy Gobert or hitting Yusuf Nurkic across the face, which are beyond inexcusable, like, this is going to happen from time to time.
Well, it is, and, you know, I think he's the first guy in two decades to get thrown out of two games in the first quarter. that, to me, is amazing.
Yeah.
And when you are in the category on the list with Rasheed Wallace, that's another amazing feat.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I just look at this whole thing, and you're right, that's reality, but you're walking a tight rope. And he's needed out there. He's got to play at a high level for this team to make it all happen. And this can't happen again. They dodged a bullet, as far as I'm concerned. Because if they had Orlando playing at their top level, they would have been in trouble. They couldn't hit anything. First quarter was just abysmal. And you know what? When I would do a scouting report on that team, their biggest downfall is Suggs and Fultz are great athletes. But they're not good shooters. They get in the paint and they're strong and all that kind of thing. You know, Anthony had a big game coming off the bench, but you know, they've had a heck of a season. And if you ask people around the league, they would say they're one of the five hardest working teams in the league, and they're young and promising for the future. And that was a poor performance by them.
Yeah, and Jamal Mosley deserves all the credit in the world. Now,
great job. Yeah.
Was he in Dallas at the same time as your son?
No, he had just gotten the job. Yeah, he had just left. Yeah.
Gotcha.
He was with Rick Carlisle.
Gotcha. Yeah, he had done.
He's done a heck of a job there.
He really has.
You know what? It's kind of like you've talked a lot about Dagnall. You can feel the relationship he has with his players, and the respect is mutual both ways. It's really a good looking thing, and I think he just got a new, pretty good length contract extension. So good for him.
Yeah, no, yeah. Congrats to Jamal Mosley. He has done a great job there with Orlando. I do want to get into Stephen Curry's reaction because it's been a big storyline. He was visibly upset. You know, hands on his knees, you know, putting his face into his jersey after he realized that Draymond had been ejected. Steve Kerr giving him the pat on the back, and then the largest night celebration I've ever seen from Steph after hitting that left wing three with about 33 seconds to go to put the game to bed, and then kicking the chair, the open chairs down by the Golden State bench. This is what Steph had to say after the game, and then saying, I want to get your response to what you saw from Steph last night, right after this bite from Stephen Curry.
Yeah, we know how important the season is, or this part of the season is, and our ability to get into a rhythm and secure a playing opportunity and give ourselves a shot. We don't want to have self-inflicted wounds when it comes to that. We all care. We all are passionate about, you know, the game and our chances to have something to play for down the stretch. So you give everything you got to this game, and that's the emotion.
Well, he speaks the truth. He knows this is what it's all about. You play the whole season, 82, to get down to this point, and that game could have went either way. And you know, he's got to these guys got to come together. And it's not just Steph. I mean, he played a heck of a game last night. You know, with Draymond out, he had 10 assists. You know, really quarterbacked the club really well. And I don't blame him one bit. And then, Kev, you got to explain to me, I heard secondhand that some national guys were questioning his leadership.
Oh, yeah, I'll get into that.
And I, for the life of me, I can't get into that. I don't understand that. That's crazy to me. But you know what? Steph Curry is the statesman for the club, and he does it in a professional way. And it's okay to show a little emotion. That's okay.
Yeah, so what you're referring to, Gary, is that Jay Williams, former Chicago Bull, Duke Blue Devil, former number 2 overall pick, who's really had a nice media career for himself over the last few years, said that he gets texts and messages from who he considered to be very important people high in the NBA, or some verbiage of that, that are questioning Steph's leadership as a result of all this Draymond Green stuff, as if Steph could do more. Like, I don't see, and Steve Kerr was saying it earlier, I believe, on Willard and Dibbs, like, how is that Steph's problem? Draymond Green's, you know, anger issues that we have discussed. How is him yelling at the officials and the antics he's had with Rudy Gobert and Yusuf Nurkic, and the list goes on, how is DeMontis Sabonis in the playoffs last year, how is any of that Steph's problem? And the thing is that the way it was presented on First Take is, like, you'll see the caption, Jay Williams says, you know, that there are people questioning Steph's leadership. And like, Jay Williams himself was saying, well, I don't believe that. Like, I know what a good leader Steph is, essentially, but it's all these other people saying it. It felt a little disingenuous to me. And look, Jay Williams is going to forget more basketball than I'll ever know. I will not put my knowledge up against his knowledge. He would destroy me. But I will say, this is the same guy who said that the 2018-19 Duke Blue Devils that had Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, and Cam Reddish and company would defeat the 2018-19 Cleveland Cavaliers that started the season like 0-6, Ty Lue got fired, and they had a pretty abysmal season. Well, obviously, that's an absurd take, because that team had 4 NBA players on Duke, and the Cleveland Cavaliers had 15 NBA players. It's really that simple. But that's where this stuff is coming from. I know we're running up on a break right here, but that's kind of where all that came from, Saint.
Well, I'm just going to tell you in very simplistic terms, that's a bunch of hooey. That's got nothing for me. Nothing at all. If you start questioning Steph Curry and his integrity and his approach to the game and his relationships with teammates and coaches, what's going on with your day? What do you think? Come on, man. It doesn't work. It just doesn't fit.
Dub Nation, want a chance to win the ultimate Warriors game night? Visit warriors.com/Modelo and enter now. Must be 21 and over to enter. No purchase necessary. We're going to take a break. Come on back. Talk more about the win over Orlando. Take a look at this wild, wild west and much more right here on 95.7 The Game.
And fans get 10% cash back in arena or online at Warriors Shop by using Rakuten.
That is pretty exciting.
Cash back on Warriors gear is exciting, Stephen Curry.
I think they know it's me.
Good point. We just need to tell them the website.
Rakuten.com/Warriors. RAKUTEN.com/Warriors.
It's truck month at your local Ram dealer, with great deals on trucks that work hard, play hard, and break every rule on what a truck should be. Right now, get 10% below MSRP on the purchase of select 2024 Ram 1500 crew cab trucks. Don't miss Ram truck month. See your local Ram dealer today and take advantage of this great offer. Get 10% below MSRP on the purchase of select 2024 Ram 1500 crew cab trucks. Excludes TRX, Bighorn, and Tradesman. Not compatible with lease offers or with any other consumer incentive offers. Contact dealer for details. Take retail delivery by 4/1/24.
When it comes to your business, time is money. So say hello to BMO.
Hello.
A bank that makes business progress easier. We have a range of checking accounts designed to fit your business needs.
I need that.
Expert guidance and advice.
I do have questions.
And quick and easy account openings in branch or online. So you have extra to make more. Visit your nearest BMO branch to say hello and learn more.
BMO.
Accounts are subject to approval and provided in the United States by BMO Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
He's the best in the biz.
Bounce pass over to Curry. Steps and fires a three. It's up and good! He hit it! Curry!
Tim Roy's Call of the Game is presented by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all your devices.
At the Golf Mart by Worldwide Golf, there's something that binds us all. The collective goal to transcend the ordinary. Introducing the all-new Ping G730 and i530 irons. The G730 irons are Ping's longest and most forgiving irons, while the i530s fit golfers who want more distance in a player's design and are engineered for higher launch and more. Visit us in store at the Golf Mart or online at worldwidegolf.com. Get there.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love with the free Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams with Odyssey. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the free Odyssey app today.
And every member of Dub Nation has a seat at this table.
If everybody would please take your seats.
The Warriors Roundtable has returned on 95.7 The Game.
Knocked it down straight on for about 28 feet.
Now back to Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
Back here on Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game, the Warriors take on the Dallas Mavericks at Chase Center Tuesday, April 2nd, presented by NBC Sports. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives standing by. All right, let's move on from the Draymond Green incident from last night. Look, he knows he made a mistake, and the team has moved on. They obviously got it done without him, and Draymond's expected to be in the lineup against the Charlotte Hornets. So let's heap some praise on Andrew Wiggins, because he carried Golden State in the fourth quarter. He scored the first 8 points of the fourth quarter. He scored 13 in the fourth overall. He finished with 23 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, was a plus 12. Just did a fantastic job. And I thought the move that was emblematic of his mindset for me last night was I believe it was at 92-90 in the fourth quarter when Orlando's inching back. They're walking the Warriors down. That's the new phrase everybody says in basketball now for coming back, walking the other team down. That's the in phrase. Okay, so as they were walking them down, quote-unquote, Andrew Wiggins just went right to the hole, lowered his shoulder in the defender. I can't remember if it was Franz Wagner. I think it was Franz Wagner. But lowered his shoulder right into him, just bullied his way to the bucket, laid it in. And to me, that was just a great sight to see, because this is the kind of Wiggins that Golden State needs. And Andrew knows it. Everyone knows it, that when he plays like this, the Warriors, if he's the certified number two on this team, like we saw 2 years ago, the Warriors can contend.
You're a totally different team, Kev, and I was so happy for him. You're featuring that play is right on. He went in there with that inside shoulder and just laid it right in the chest and powered the thing up and in. And then a minute or so later, the ball's on the right side. He's over on the left free throw line extended, and a simple ball reversal from wing to top to wing. He catches it over there, and the confidence that he built up the whole game, he just rose up and hit a huge three. They were right back in the game. They were only down a couple. And he looked so happy. I was just happy for the guy. Everybody just looked really, really thrilled that they were able to get this done. People had to step up. You and I have talked a lot about Moody, and he had another step-up game last night. I thought the two rookies, maybe they didn't score a lot, but when one of them gets 14 rebounds and the other one gets 9, that's putting in your work. That's doing a heck of a job. And, you know, Gary Payton the second, there's some nights I think he's Sean Kemp. gosh darn it. He just does a terrific job, and you got to give him a lot of credit. And hey, Kev, I'm watching. Clemson won this game, right?
Yeah. Sorry, Steve.
I got to tell you a quick one. So yeah. I'm in the early 80s. I'm in my 20s. And I go to see Clemson play. And who do I go see play? But remember Larry Nance? His son plays now for New Orleans. So he was about 6'9 or 10, and he could fly. And I had a seat right in front of the Clemson band. And My ears were ringing for two straight weeks after that game. And if Nance was there in the draft, I don't know if I would have taken him because I'm blaming it on him for my ears ringing for 2 weeks. but this is a great achievement for that team. That's terrific. And of course, my New England roots. I'm liking UConn. They're looking strong.
Yeah, you know, UConn I think is winning the national championship this year, and they are.
I could agree with you.
Yeah, they're demolishing San Diego State right now in the rematch of the national championship game from a year ago. I believe this is Clemson's first Elite Eight since 1980. And
you know what? That's probably the year.
Yeah. So
that's probably it. You're right on. Good
there
job.
There you go. Yeah. So as an aside, that's the last ever Pac-12 men's basketball game, as now the conference is basically over. Rest in peace. Sorry, Steve Kerr. Sorry, everyone who went to Arizona. But congrats to Clemson. The Clemson guy from my era that I really liked was Trevor Booker. He did play a few years in the NBA. I think he got up to 8 years in the NBA. I thought he was a dominant player at Clemson. But we were talking about the Golden State Warriors in the
Sorry about that.
No. Hey, I love non sequiturs on this show. And if you have any non sequiturs and you want to share with us, feel free to hit us up 888-957-9570. Though we would prefer to talk Golden State. By the way, with respect, you mentioned Wiggins hitting that big three. He's up to 36% from three this year, and this guy was living in the high 20s for a good chunk of the season. So everything besides the consistent scoring has, I think, really started to come around. He's at 12.9 points per game now. I'd like to see him finish in the teens, 13-plus points per game, and he can certainly get there. But look, he is playing better as of late, and we don't know what the family matter is, but we know that it was serious enough for his brother Nick Wiggins to leave his professional team in the Indonesian Basketball League to return home. So it's a serious family matter he's dealing with, and look, Andrew we know is a private guy, and that has to be weighing on his mind. Whatever it is, we wish him and his family the best.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know, I'm just really respectful of the Warriors organization. You know, a lot of times in pro sports, there's a lot of leaks about stuff going on, true or false. And they've done a beautiful, beautiful job respecting his privacy and keeping it within. And so kudos to the Warriors organization. And I hope and pray for his family that things go in a good way. And in the meantime, you know, that's, we always say that, you know, once you get inside those four lines, you know, it just kind of just let it flow. You're doing something you love, and you get all that pressure off you, and you just play the game, and that can be really helpful to you.
Well, it was the second really good game in a row from Andrew Wiggins, who scored 17 points in the win over the Miami Heat. He combined with Jonathan Kuminga, Kuminga with 18 points. They defeat the Heat 113-92, and I looked this up because you've been talking about this all year, Saint, that the Warriors' season hinges on the success of Jonathan Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins. And so I thought to myself, oh, they scored 35 in that win over Miami. How well do the Warriors do when those two combine for 35 points? Well, the last nine times it's happened, the Warriors have won seven of those games. The games they did not score recently, they did not score 35 points. They scored a combined 29 against Minnesota, and they lost by four. So if they scored six more, if they got to that magic 35, I mean, mathematically, they win the game. Against Indiana, they scored 19 points combined, lost by 12. Again, you add 16 to get to 35, they defeat the Pacers by four. Against New York, they scored 23 in the home loss, lost by seven. 12 more, they win that game by five. One of those two losses was when they didn't have Stephen Curry. The other one was the 10-point loss in Dallas, 109-99. So you're right on, Saint, that if Kuminga and Wiggins can play well together, this team can be really, really good.
Well, when you look at them, they're terrific athletes. I mean, they can really get up and down the floor. They can defend. They have the potential to be very good rebounders. But in the half-court game, what they bring to the team is, knifing and slashing to the basket. And what does that do? It makes a defense contract. And when the defense contracts, then the three ball is open. But if they're not involved in that kind of thing and they're standing around or whatever, then the three ball gets taken away by the defense. So they help Steph, they help Clay an awful lot get wide open shots. Even if they don't get the ball, the defense has to honor them when they get it to attack the rim. They both have the ability to score there. So, that's a key thing for the rest of the season, that they play at a level that you're talking about, because the team can get a number of wins here. And heck, they... This is crazy what's going on. I don't know. They could even get to seven. Who knows what's going to happen? This is wild stuff.
Yeah, it really is. And we're going to get into how historically good the West is in a little bit. But I also wanted to touch on Clay being inserted back into the starting lineup, replacing Brandon Pajemski, who's been hustling his tail off all over the court. But the offense has kind of ebbed and flowed for him his rookie season. But Clay, 28 points in the win over Miami. And, you know, he's working himself into a pretty darn respectable season. He's scoring more points per 36 minutes than the 2013-14 season, when he started 81 games at age 24. He's shooting 38% from three. He's up to 43% from the field. Like, despite a really slow start to the year, he's up to 17.3 points per game. Like, if you just took away the name Klay Thompson and you saw that stat line, you'd be like, oh, this is a really solid year.
Well, you're just thrilled for him. And, Steve makes a good coaching decision. As I said before, those two rookies have exceeded expectations. They've earned their minutes. They've played so hard every single night. You know, Pudzinski getting 9 rebounds. That's amazing for a guard. And it keeps the Warriors at such a high level on the rebounding, you know, with the defensive glass and offensive rebounds. And You just sing their praise. Now, Pudzinski, you know, sometimes the scouting reports catch up with the young players. And then you have to have counters. And that's those things he'll be working on this offseason. Or I think it was last night or the night before, he had a great floater in the paint. And we know he's a lefty, and he gets to that left hand and finishes pretty darn good at the rim. And, you know, pretty solid from the three. But to me, it's his intelligence and his intangibles that have painted the picture for him. And he'll grow on that in that sense. But it was the right move, putting Clay in there. And Clay flourished. He played great. He just looks so confident and happy out there. And I'm thrilled for him. And the one thing, Kev, I just think he's done better than any other time in his career. I love his passing. We didn't see much of that in the past. And, you know, he's made a heck of an effort on the defensive end. I think he looks better than, say, he did in the first half of the year.
Yeah, I mean, there are some plays every night defensively where it's just like, oh, yeah, that was a solid defensive play from Klay Thompson. He might not be the two-way player that he was pre the two huge injuries, but he still has some serviceable shifts on the defensive end. You mentioned Pajemski. How about the running hook he had in the lane last night?
Oh, I love that. That's old school.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. That'd be like in a 3-on-3 game. That was beautiful. He's just, you just got a smile watching the guy play. It's terrific.
And I want to mention one more thing from the Orlando game, because we gave GP2 some flowers. Also, Trayce Jackson-Davis had 14 rebounds, 5 offensive boards. The second chance efforts that Golden State got were huge in that game. And Moses Moody, I thought, really played well. And one thing I've noticed from him is when he gets a chance to show it, when he's in the rotation, he can be a really good out-of-area offensive rebounder. And he had one of those last night that I think Steve Kerr said after the game was one of the biggest plays of the game, when it was 68-62. He comes in flying from the left corner to snag an offensive rebound, kicks it out to Clay for a three to try to stem the tide a little bit. And he had 12 points last night. I just really like the offensive rebounding that not only Pods can provide, TJD can provide, but Moody can provide it as well.
It's really hard when you're a young player to stay patient and positive. And we have to give him praise for that. He's done a great job. Whenever he's called upon, he's there. And I was thinking of you watching the game when he almost broke, I don't know who the heck the defender was. He almost broke somebody's ankles. I'm laughing sitting there by myself. I'm thinking of you because you and I keep always talking about him. So good for him. It was great. And one other guy we should chat about is Kevon Looney because with injuries, with guys missing games, there he was, the old pro. He was ready to step in. He gets you 7 rebounds in 14 minutes and just helps you win the game. That's as simple as it is. And I think he's got the respect of everybody in that whole locker room.
Yeah, I mean, just the elder statesman still in his late 20s, right? Like, just he gets it. He does what is necessary for the team. I think, as Bonte Hill would say, Kevon Looney eats for free in the Bay Area forever. Like, he's just won over Dub Nation. And even if he's not having the season that he had last year or the year before, he's still very important to this team as a locker room guy. And last night showed he could still produce on the floor. Let's get into the Western Conference now, because what is happening is wild. Currently, with Houston on this heater, there are 11 teams above 500 in the West. And I checked this last night. There has never been a completed NBA season where 11 teams in the same conference finish with winning records. And Golden State, in their last 29 games, after they went 19-24 to start, they're 19-10. And you would think that if you're starting in 12th and you go 19-10 in your next 29 games, they were in 12th at 19-24 after 43 games. They win 19 of their next 25. And they basically only gained 3.5 games on the field. So basically 11 teams have been 2 games above 500 or better that entire time. That's 73% of the conference. That is insane.
It really, really is. And I know in years past we've get praised the Western Conference and talking about it being so strong. And, you know, in a couple of years we said, wow, it's really deep. Well, this has to be the best ever because I think you got some surprises up there. I mean, I don't know that anybody expected Minnesota and OKC and New Orleans to be this strong. They've really done a great job with all three of those teams. You know, the Clippers are – you know, they're flirting around, but they're going to be 4 or 5. And the first three are kind of locked. And so with that said, you look at the Warriors with 38-34, and the rating on their schedule the rest of the way is very good. And I'm looking at those teams above them. I don't know what to think of the Lakers. They've had some good wins. They've kind of surprised me. And, you know, Russell has shot the ball well, and Reeves, and then, you know, Davis had the big game the other night with LeBron out. But they're on an extended East Coast trip. And you usually don't see these kind of trips this late in the season. So we'll see how they react to this. That'll be interesting. And then, you know, I look at Phoenix, and how do you figure those guys? I mean, they probably the worst loss in the whole season this year in the entire NBA. They play San Antonio back-to-back, and Wemby doesn't play in the second game, and they get beat by 2. It was terrible. Yeah. They bounced back last night, and they beat Denver. How do you figure that? And the other one is Sacramento. They lose at home by 30 to Dallas. I'm going to now leave Dallas up there at 6. So I think it's a battle for 7 and 8 with Sacramento, Phoenix, and the Warriors and the Lakers. Just watch out. One of them could really move up. The big thing to look at, though, is the loss column. The Warriors have 34. And, for example, you get to Sacramento and Phoenix, they've got 30. Well, that's a lot to make up. That means somebody's going to have to really fall apart, and they're going to have to go like 8-2 or something like that. So I love this. I'm crazy. At my age, every morning, I'm looking at the standings, and I'm like, what the heck am I doing? But I just love it. It's so much fun to follow this. It's great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to pick a candidate, Phoenix, their schedule at Oklahoma City, at New Orleans, at home against the Cavs, versus Minnesota, at home against New Orleans, home against the Clippers, at the Clippers, at Sacramento, at Minnesota. All these teams are seeded eighth or better in their conference.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are losses to be had, but if this is a team that is going to lose to the Spurs and beat the Nuggets on the road the very next night, like, maybe it's good that they're playing these good teams for their sake.
Well, it is. I have to tell you, Kevin Durant, I loved him when he was with the Warriors. Kev, last night he had 5 blocks.
He was unbelievable.
I mean, unreal. And I just love him watching him play basketball. And Booker had a subpar night. Beal did a pretty good job quarterbacking the team. He had fingers taped together with a dislocation. It was a good win. And they're a simple thing for them. Their bigs are not real good. And when they go even or better in the three-ball game, they're 27-7. Which tells you that, you know, going small, playing Durant at 5, or last night they played Thaddeus Young at 5 for a while, and maybe that can be a, you know, a thought for the last home stretch here. But let's say, for example, they go 5-5. Well, that means the Warriors still have to go like 9-1.
Yeah,
you know, to catch them. So it's just get in this thing. I think Steph said it best. We can't get worried about everybody else. We've just got to play good basketball. I am selfish. Although you keep telling me the home record's not so good. But I don't think Steph shoots great down in Lakerland. I want him to play a home game. And I'm telling everybody that game will get the highest rating in the entire NBA playoffs. The whole thing, the finals and everything, if they wind up playing the Lakers in the play-in.
Yeah, no, I think Golden State would much rather prefer to play that game at Chase Center because, as you mentioned, even though they won at LA last time there, still, it's just they have not been good historically in that building. Steph's shooting numbers have been down historically in that building. Of course, they played a play-in game there 3 years ago, lost it when LeBron said he saw 3 rims and just aimed for the one in the middle and buried a 30-footer to defeat the Warriors. I believe 197 was the final score or something like that. But look, last year, Golden State was the sixth seed at 44-38.
Yeah.
44-38 might not be good enough to make the play-in this year. There is a scenario where Golden State could go 45-37 and miss the play-in. Like, it would have to basically go perfectly for Houston, but that is on the table. That's how good the West has been this year.
You know, Kev, and another example is New Orleans. I mean, Ingram's down. What are you going to say? He's your first, second, third best player? They just continue to win. It's amazing to me. They're winning now, late in the third, against the Bucks, and it's just a lot of great teams to watch play the game, and it's going to be a great, great playoffs. I think we're going to see some upsets this year. I really do. The parity is so tight, and you know, you look in the East, Boston's all alone. I love my old team, Milwaukee, but I don't know if it's all there. They played some really good ball and played some not so good. And, you know, Philadelphia with the Embiid thing. And so it's Boston's there. I the whole key for me, you and I have talked about this. The whole key for me is our man Porzingis going to be able to play for 16 wins? Can he do it? You know, stay healthy. Big thing for them right now is Holiday. You know, he's got a kind of a numbness in his arm. He got whacked in the shoulder. But, boy, they, you know, their bench, they've shocked me how good they are. Pritchard and, you know, those guys there have done a great, great job. Hauser I'm really impressed.
The WNBA Golden State team will begin playing the 2025 WNBA season at Chase Center. Get first access to season tickets for this historic season. Place a deposit at warriors.com/WNBA today. We're going to take a break. Come on back. Talk a little bit about the Charlotte Hornets and the San Antonio Spurs. The final teams on the road trip for Golden State right here on 95.7 The Game.
If you've just joined us,
Don't worry. We saved your seat.
Sit down.
Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down.
At the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Curry behind the back. Wait, stops it. Pops on the way. Ridiculous three on the right sideline.
Now, here's Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. The road trip continues tomorrow in Charlotte, 3:30 on the air, 4 p.m. tip time with Tim Roy on the call here on 95.7 The Game. The road trip concludes Easter Sunday in San Antone, taking on the Spurs, 3:30 airtime, 4 p.m. tip time on 95.7. Dubs come home for one against Dallas, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time with Tim and Tom Tolbert on the call, presented by NBC Sports. Then they're on the road for two. I will be on that road trip filling in for Tim Roy. So I'll have the games in Houston and Dallas, 4:30 on the air, 5 p.m. tip time, Thursday, April 4th, and then 5 p.m. airtime, 5:30 tip time, Friday, April 5th in Dallas. So that's what's coming up for Golden State. That will take them to game 77, those five games, if I'm doing my math right. Yeah, 72 plus 5 is 77 last time I checked. Let's talk a little bit about the Charlotte Hornets, because as mediocre or as bad as Charlotte has been recently, the Warriors, like Orlando, now Orlando's good this year, and they've had some years where they've made the playoffs as a 7 or 8 seed in recent years, but Golden State hadn't won there since the 2017-18 season until last night. And Golden State has lost four straight in Charlotte. Look, last year they blew a two-possession lead in the final minute, lost in overtime. That was the start of the 0-5 road trip. Stephen Curry admitted he was kind of playing hero ball late. Then there was a really tough loss there in 2021. They were up five late. Draymond got ejected with two technicals, up two with 9.3 seconds left. Rozier hits the free throws, and Terry Rozier hits a buzzer beater. And look, I know Charlotte's lost 12 of 15. They did beat Cleveland last night. And just considering the recent history for Golden State, they better not take the Hornets lightly.
No, you know, Kev, you go into a game like that, and they're playing footloose and fancy-free, and they're just going to play out there, finishing out their season. And, you know, the only guy that I think is an above-average player right now for them is Bridges. Some of those guys I don't even know. And the fact that Ball hasn't been able to play with that severe ankle sprain, he's their cornerstone, and he changes the way you play. They really got up and down. Steve Clifford is a good coach. He's a very solid coach and a great guy. And it's tough, you know, going through this. There's a new ownership coming in, and, you know, they're pointing to the future. So with that said, you got to go take care of business, and then you go to Memphis, and you never can take them lightly, because Jenkins is a very, very good coach. Jackson's a good pro, and the guy that I like there is Bane. And so you just got to win these two games, because you just noted you come back in Dallas. It's going to be a huge game. Like tomorrow night, Sacramento plays Dallas down there after they got blown out by 30 at home. These are huge games. They're like a two-game swing with these games. And so with that said, you got to take care of the ones you're supposed to win, and, you know, take a couple that maybe you're just 50-50 or the underdog.
Yeah, and San Antonio is the team they face to finish up the road trip on Sunday. But I was curious to get your opinion on Brandon Miller, because I kind of scoffed at him being the number two pick over Scoot Henderson. But he's proved me wrong, or Scoot hasn't proven me right yet, because Brandon Miller's averaging 17 points, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists, shooting 44 from the field, 37 from three, 81 from free, and he's generally had a pretty darn good rookie season.
You know, the eye test tells you that he's smooth. He understands the pace of the NBA game. He's not playing in overdrive. He takes good shots. His shot selection is very solid. He might be even a little bit more athletic than I thought, and he's poised, and I think he's got a very, very bright future there in Charlotte. I like him a lot.
I want to go back to something you said. You mentioned the Dallas-Sacramento kind of mini two-game series that they're playing. Have you seen ever where the two teams will play each other in the same location but 2 days apart during the regular season with no games in between? Just Tuesday, they play in Sacramento. Wednesday, Thursday off. Friday, back again in Sacramento. That just seemed a little off.
Well, I got to admit something. You caught me. I thought they were playing down in Dallas. They're playing at Sacramento again. Oh, wow. Well, yeah, that makes it more interesting to me because, gosh, Sacramento should win that game. I know Herter's hurt. He's got a shoulder issue. But at the end of the day, they got their two main guns. I think Fox has to have a big game, and Monk has been a little inconsistent lately, but I really love the year he's had. And they need a big effort. They've had, I think, Lyles out too, so they've got a few guys in the rotation that aren't playing, but they're very capable of winning up there, and they've got great fans, and I'm pulling for them. I want them to win.
Yeah, well, they lost by 36 on Tuesday, 132-96. That was pretty close to the half, and then Luka and company just took over. So San Antonio on Sunday, Easter Sunday, 17-56 this year, but they have won 3 of their last 6. They've won their last 2, and of course they won at Chase without Victor Wembanyama and Devin Vassell. And I mean, I know we've talked about Wemby a lot. I covered him, his games for the NBA app last year while he was playing with Mets 92. And just to give you an idea of kind of the gravity of Victor Wembanyama, like that team, Mets 92, had no historical success in LNB Pro A. They had never won the French League title, hadn't been to the championship. Just nothing had really come out of that program. Now, that was Joakim Noah's, like, his youth club. It was Mets 92, but outside of that, not a huge tradition. Once they get him, Vincent Collet, who's the head coach of the French national team, comes in. They're able to attract some top-level guys like a Tremont Waters. They have Bilal Coulibaly as a lottery pick there. They make it to the finals by defeating essentially the Boston Celtics of that league, of the LNB Pro A, as well as Tony Parker's team. They get to the finals, lose to Monaco, who's a EuroLeague team that finished in the Final Four, made it to the Final Four of EuroLeague. But this year, they are dead last. They're like 4-22. They're going to get relegated. And just everybody left that team because Wembanyama's not there anymore. But that just kind of the gravity of Wemby. And they might be 17-56 this year, but that's going to be another team you're going to have to worry about in the West down the line.
Yeah, and Kev, you try to rebuild through the draft, they're going to have a great draft pick. But I wouldn't say it's, there's great, great players there. As a matter of fact, I think 2 or 3 out of the top 5 are going to be from France. And then you look at free agency, and you say, well, what can we do there? And I don't know that there's a great crop of free agents that are just going to be out there on the market. Some guys, like I give you an example, like Mitchell in Cleveland. Everyone thought he was going to leave, and today Gilbert, their owner, came out and said they're very confident they're going to sign him. So, I can't tell you that I feel there's great free agents that it's going to turn around there. So it's not a 1-year turnaround there. It's going to take some time, and I think Pop wants to see it through. He wants to see them in really good shape, starting to go in the right direction. And this is just a perfect fit. This is a reinvigorated Pop. He's loving teaching and mentoring this young player. And I think the young guy is such a great guy that he's embraced Pop and all the tradition down there with the Spurs. And, Duncan's around, Ginobili's around, all those guys. And you're right. They do have a bright future.
Yeah, look, point guard and shooting some of their needs. I know that there's a pretty good point guard, Nikola Topic, who's a projected top 7, top 8 pick that could fall into their hands. If you want shooting, a Zachary Risacher, one of the French prospects you were talking about, could be there. I'm curious if they'd go with another French prospect. It's not just Wemby, Tony Parker, Boris Diaw. They do have a long line of a French connection, but so it'll be interesting. I'm sorry, say that again.
You say French connection. I'm saying Popeye Doyle. That was one of the great all-time chase scenes in the history of movies.
Yes, yes. I got to be honest. I have not seen the French Connection.
Watch it. You'll love it.
I know. I have.
Kev,
heard
how old I am now? I went over to see Boris Diaw and Michael Petras play in France.
Oh wow!
And I, and I walked away, and we drafted Petras, and Dial was really heavy, and he was a great, great passer and feel for the game. And now I think he's like the national chairman, kind of similar to Grant Hill over there in France, and great guy. So that was a fun trip going to Bay Ritz.
Well, we are out of time here. We do want you to stay locked in here on 95.7 The Game, because our Mark Grandy has an interview with Bay FC head coach Albertine Montoya coming up on the other side of this break. Bay FC's hosting its first ever home game this weekend, Saturday, March 30th at PayPal Park in downtown San Jose, right across from the San Jose Airport, not exactly downtown San Jose, but near downtown San Jose. So be sure to keep it locked on 95.7 The Game for that interview. Big thank you to Mark Grandy behind the glass for us tonight. RC Davis and Marika Kleto, thank you to them on the Warriors side of things. For Saint, I'm Kevin Dennis saying sayonara. We'll talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
You've been listening to the Warriors Roundtable.
Curry brings it through, one hand, three, up and good!
The exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors.
That playful and nailed it!
95.7 The Game.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.